Good afternoon on this, whatever you want to call it, type Monday. This is the Trouble Planet podcast. I am Tyler Hayward, joined by Jeremy Bile. We had a relatively just standard type show for you. Just going to talk Michigan basketball, and we were going to talk Michigan State basketball, and that was going to be that. Little something changed our plans today. The five-star center from Canada who was supposed to be coming in for Michigan State next year, decommitting USC, Arizona State, Duke, Kentucky among his choices as he is fully reopening his recruiting process. And, initially, there's a billion different reasons why you would think that, he might commit. Maybe he didn't like the direction of the team. Maybe he didn't like the direction they were going. Maybe he didn't like the rotation of the center position in East Lansing this year. Because, look, there's been a lot of stuff. Sissoko is the first big off the bench one night. The next night he doesn't play. Marble is the second big. Kithier's the starter. Bingham's the starter. And ultimately, nobody knows what's going on. Well, none of those are really the reason why he's gone. He's leaving his, or he's reopening his commitment. The reason why he's leaving is because there's too many bigs. And look, I've got my own thoughts on this, but I'm going to get my co-host Jeremy's first.
Yeah, they got too many guys for sure. I mean, I think that, this is something we've talked about numerous times over and over about that's why they're great sometimes, but it's also why they struggle. You got to know who your core eight guys are. And right now, Michigan State doesn't really always know who that is, especially at the center position. They don't know who to play all the time. They played everybody. It's an overload at the center power forward positions. And they need a lot of help at the guard positions, to be quite frank. And that is coming in, though. But I think that this decommitment, I wouldn't even say it's troubling, but it's just one that you hope it's not a trend, And right now, the team down the road is, quite frankly, really, really doing well, and especially on the recruiting trail. And they seem to do well already with a big guy because Hunter Dickinson was key again yesterday, with timely rebounds. And they have seemed to know exactly who to play at the center position at Michigan. And it's because they don't have a lot of guys. They're core eight guys, and then really they should only play seven. So, it goes hand in hand. It's working out for Michigan this year. It's a delicate problem for Michigan State this year with how many guys they have.
Yeah, and look, we'll break down Hunter Dickinson and his play yesterday. Just like you said, that was key. This is look, I'll say it, and probably not to his face because that would need a step ladder. He's a pansy. He's a pansy. You can say what you want. Oh, well, there's too many guys. They all suck this year, if we're being honest. Marvel's probably had the biggest flashes, but he doesn't get in enough. Marcus Bingham is, he's hit and miss. Thomas Kithier, he'll give you effort, but he's not going to give you a lot else. They suck at the center position. That's why Tom Izzo recruited him. And the fact that he's sitting there, he's like, you know what? I was looking at the roster. I realized how many guys were going to be back. Like, you didn't consider that before you committed? It's a fancy move. It's what it is. And, I mean, look, I thought the same thing when Jalen Perry bailed for Oregon.
Yeah,
it's something where, oh, you're a little scared about playing time? Don't commit then. Don't commit. If you sit there and you look at the roster and you're like, God, you know what? They got a lot of sophomores on this team. I'm not going to play right away. Then don't commit.
Yeah, I mean, you make some good points. There's no question. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of things that could be said. I mean, I don't know exactly what the real reason is. That could be part of it. There's a lot
According
of
to the Sports Illustrated article where he did the interview saying he would decommit, it was because he was scared that there are so many bigs and he wants to play right away.
Yeah, and I think that that's just the nature of the beast with the kids today. You know, they want to play, you know, right away.
Yeah.
They want to go to the league. He's a five-star
I
kid.
I don't
so
have a
of course
problem
he doesn't
with
want to. You know, but here's the problem for Michigan State you have is this. At some point, you got to say, we know the kid coming in is better. We're going to have to tell our guys we have, look, your job is to hone this kid. Look at Austin Davis and Hunter Dickinson. I mean, you don't think that Austin Davis, how easily it could be for him to say, well, I'm a fifth-year senior. I earned my wings. This guy's not going to take my spot. No, instead – he said, I'm going to teach this kid a few things, and he can follow my lead. And once he's ready, he's going to take my spot. I mean, I thought that that was brilliant the way they handled that. And I'll tell you what, man, the biggest nightmare for Michigan State basketball is Juwan Howard, because Juwan Howard has something that Tom Izzo doesn't have, and that's the NBA pedigree. And I didn't think it was going to work. I really didn't. I'll be the first to admit, I didn't think he was going to be able to coach well. I thought that it wasn't going to work, his style. Well, I was wrong. His style absolutely works because of the type of kids you get. If you get the right kids, it works.
Yeah, and that's,
and he's getting the right
and
kids.
That's the one thing that, you know, I'm kind of happy about this. If you don't want to work to play, that's fine. You can take it somewhere else. You know, you're a quality player. You're stuck with somebody like that. But at the same time, if you don't want to play, then if you don't want to work at it, if you don't want to earn it, you just kind of want to be given a starting spot, then go somewhere else. Go somewhere else, because the competition that you play and practice it, look, Boyake was going to start at Michigan State, and I think you and I have had to stop. Boyake was going to start because even if Hauser ends up starting next year, which, you know, we've kind of ran through with these hypothetical lineups left and right. Even if Hauser ends up starting next year, you need a big who can freaking just stand down low, be a man. Michigan State doesn't have that right now, and that's where Boakye would have come in handy. And so Boakye was going to start, period. Doesn't matter. He's better than the other guys. He's the antithesis of Joey Hauser. He was going to start. And
I think that those kids they have now are not. Here's the thing about it, though, Tyler, we got to understand is, you know, we don't know how good Matty Sokko will be next year. He might be a totally different player. You know, this is freshman year, and I think, you know, the kid looked at what they have and go, geez, I mean, I'm going to have to compete against Marble and him for 2 years, 3 years, and they might be better than me. I mean, they might be still. We don't know just how good Sissoko or Marble truly is. We've seen flashes with Marble. Sissoko hasn't really had an opportunity to show much. And he can rebound, and he just hasn't shown enough offensively. He's just not comfortable offensively yet, but Marble's more comfortable. Yeah. But Marble's kind of fell off defensively. But I'll tell you what, the kid, I don't think Michigan State, look, those are your two guys. You have got to realize that's the future of your, you know, big guy position, and you might have to play bigger. Like, look how big Michigan has been in this season of the times, Tyler. They played, you know, they played Austin Davis and Dickinson at the same time a couple games. You know, and if why can't you play Bingham and Marble at the same time? I mean, you want size, you want rim protection. Your big problem this year has been interior defense. Just get bigger. You know, I mean, and they just keep pounding away at the thought that Joey Hauser is a four. And he does not know how to play in the interior. He just doesn't. He is an offensively gifted player in the interior, but on defense, he cannot bang with guys. And I think the kid decommitting, to be quite honest, Tyler, I don't think it's going to hurt Michigan State. I really don't. I think Marble and Sokol are going to be all right. I think they're the type of kids that Tom loves, and I think they'll be fine there. But you can't have this to continue to happen, you know?
Yeah, and look, I mean, ultimately, it's been tough sledding as far as the Great White North goes when you look at, you know, what happened with Kareem Main last year. Well, we saw how that worked out for him. And I don't like root bad for anybody, but if especially a kid, but if you're going to sit there and you're going to commit to someone and you know what the roster looks like, none of these guys are going to go pro. Joey Hauser was never going to go pro, and we talked about that. I said that before the season even started. I have all these Michigan State kids popping up. Man, I don't know how we're going to replace Henry and Hauser next season. Henry, I thought maybe had a shot after this year, not so much. But Hauser was never going to go to begin with. And I think that, you know, that misconception is really just, you know, screwed with a lot of people. Let's break down the Michigan game, though. You and I both had them pegged for losses, for a loss yesterday against Wisconsin. And that's the route it looked like it was going to go. You said it, Juwan Howard cut it from 8-7 in the second half in regards to his rotation.
Thank God.
And look, he ended up, you know, that ended up being the right move because, well, Brandon Johns wasn't in making mistakes. And Michigan ended up coming back. I think it was close to when the score indicated, you know, due to the game, things of that nature. But I think at the same time, look, that's a huge win. Wisconsin's not, you know, the Sam Decker, Frank Minsky Badgers. But with the experience on the team, the fact that, you know, Demetric Trice has probably been nailed his AARP card. You know, you have all these seniors on the squad, two very quality bigs. When look, Michigan right now, no disrespect to Davis, they have one who could probably hang with both of those guys. Look, that was a huge win coming off the 21-day hiatus.
Huge win, and honestly, I only want to disagree with one thing. I think Austin Davis has been amazing. I mean, I think Austin Davis has been such a key piece to this team. And when you don't have any depth, you know, he has always come in and done a good job. He gives you buckets. You know, he's going to give you your 6-7 points, 3-5
yeah,
rebounds.
I was talking like a mano, like him versus Wisconsin bigs, like Rivers and those guys. I don't think he can, like, hang with them. But at the same time, they can't hang with him either because Wisconsin bigs have kind of been soft lately.
No, I mean, that's my point I was going to just get to. At times, he outplays those guys even. So that's how great he's been. He's not a better player. I mean, we know that. But he has moments where he outplays them. And that's just how important he is, where when Hunter needs a little break or, you know, hey, you know, this is just another look that they got to go against. You know, to be honest, Austin Davis has quicker feet than Hunter does. You know, he's got great up and under moves. He goes in and does a great job. Shaudre Brown has just been absolutely fantastic. I mean, he comes off the bench. He guards the point guards. He guards the wings. He rebounds. This is a very good rebounding team, very good defensive team. And that's it. There's your seven. You know, you got Brooks, Smith, Wagner, Dickinson, and then Davis and, you know, Brown. And it's like, okay, you know, Brandon Johns, God bless your heart. If you want to play, you can play. If you don't, you can clap for your teammates. And, you know, he's becoming my Trey person, and there's a reason why. And, you know, it's here we are again. And look, what makes me more mad about anything with him is the fact that he probably, ironically, Tyler, could be that last piece where, you know, he needs to play well, right? Or you got to have eight guys. You just do. I don't think that way no more. I think it's like – I think they should give Williams a chance more. They were doing that a little bit at the beginning of the year. I think he's solid with the ball. I think he's tougher than Johns. And I think that I hope they do that moving forward, but I don't think they will. Brandon's had some good games. Michigan, though, in the end, big win. But he was a big problem in that first half, and that just shows how good those seven are. That's what blows me away with this whole thing, Tyler, is – They got seven guys. I mean, they really have seven, and that's it.
Yeah.
And they're working with those seven, man.
Yeah, and It's going to be interesting because when you do have such a limited bench in that regards, and you don't want to focus too much on next year. You do if you're a State fan, not if you're a Michigan fan. If you're a Michigan fan, 2021 is where it's at in regards to basketball. But you wonder with
Oh, I disagree with that. I totally disagree with that one. I think Michigan basketball is this isn't a one-stop,
Well, no,
shop here.
I'm saying
I think
they have a lot of seniors. Hunter Dickinson may leave. It's going to be tough to replace those types of guys. That's all I'm saying. And so, in some aspects, I mean, you talked about using Williams. I would love to see them use him a little bit more. I kind of agree with you on Johns. And we talked about Michigan State recruiting misses. That's one I'm kind of glad that we made. But I think that is it going to be sustainable? I think for the grand scheme of things, the name of the program, I think Juwan Howard can be a really good coach at this level. It's still young in his career, so it's too early to say, oh, he's fantastic. It's too early to say, oh, you know what? Last year was proof he's a flop. And so and all he needs to rely on grad transfers. I think that he I think it's still kind of too early to tell because I'm kind of torn between his success this year and his struggles last year, to be completely honest. And the fact that it's,
Well, I think we got to go. I got to disagree with you because, look, I agreed with you last year, and I'm a disagreeing with both of us, I guess. I think the guy knows what the hell he's doing. I mean, I think that I dropped the ball on this one. I just didn't think with his lack of experience at the college basketball level, he would come right in and recruit like outstanding at Michigan. I thought they would have mediocre recruiting classes. And then when Isaiah Todd dropped off, and then they lost Josh Christopher. I really thought that it wouldn't be that well. He completely did a 180, 360, and said, "Oh no, we're still going to get these other guys, and we're going to have the best class in the nation." Which, look, man, when you get the best
So
class
far.
in the nation, that's pretty
Yeah.
good. It's pretty good. And and look, here's the deal: they all
Yeah.
signed, by the way.
Yeah.
They all signed. They didn't just commit; they signed.
Enoch, pay attention.
So there's a huge difference. Yeah, there's a huge difference here on what me and you both thought before and where we are now. And I'm going to tell you this, man. I mean, you know how I am. I'm competitive. You are too. Michigan State fan, it's here. Juwan Howard is here. And you can't miss anymore. You can't miss on recruits because this guy isn't going to all the time. Where with John Beilein, you can kind of get away with it. If you don't get, a kid like, the big kid you just lose, it's okay. Not anymore. You can't do that. So that's the only thing I worry about for Michigan State is I don't think it'll be a problem at the center losing that kid. But you don't want to continue to lose five stars because now it's
Yeah,
starting
and
to be a trend.
hopefully Moni Bates is listening as that's going to be the next piece of the puzzle ultimately in regards to that.
That's make or break, Tyler. That's make or break.
And
I mean, it really
ultimate
is.
and that look, like I've said, and I still stand by, I think he stays and I think he's here for 2 years, just given his age. He won't be able to go the NBA route after 1 year. So I think that he's obviously, like I said, he is the big one. He will ultimately decide if Michigan State's going to stay on top or if they're going to bow down to Michigan for at least a year or two. And like I said, Christie's coming in, Brooks is coming in. Michigan State still needs to make room. If they just to reclassify, especially they still need. Let's see, Langford's going to be gone. You can take Hoiberg's scholarship and move him back to being a walk-on. And
Yeah.
you have Coleman coming in as a walk-on because he's got the football scholarship. Then you'll have Brooks and Christie. So there's two. That's going to be your Langford and Hoiberg. And then you'll need you still got to make a little bit of room. Whether it's Henry leaving, if he came into this year saying he's one and done, and then a transfer, whether it be Mark Watts Jr. or Marcus Bingham, who Bingham, I think for me, has kind of fallen off the table. I don't think he meshes well with Izzo still, but at the same time, I thought the reason he was going to transfer is because he was going to be behind Boake, and then if Sissoko improved or Marvel took that step forward, you know, and so maybe it's not Bingham, maybe it's Watts, but, and I'm starting to lean more towards the combo guard. That being
when's the last game? Let me ask you this question, Tyler. This is on my mind, and I think that you'll know the answer, I'm sure. Who was the last kid that Michigan State had that transferred out that was a really good player? Was Lucius the last one, like a guy that was really big time that transferred, or not even big time, but, you know, a key piece to kind of like, whoa, he left.
I think Sherman was kind of surprising for me. Garrick Sherman, you know, with his hands like feet. But Lucius and Allen, I think, were the big ones. But those guys also, you know, got kicked out of the program because of weed. You know, it wasn't just a, oh, I don't like it here type deal. It was because they were potheads. I think.
What was the one name? Was it
Kaminsky was one. I think he wasn't going to class or something like that. Yeah. He was solid. Marvin Clark, Javon Best, Kenny Kaminsky, all kind of in that area, all kind of in that range. Marvin Clark was a big one. Yeah. I loved him, loved his story. You know, there's a good YouTube clip of, you know, while he's in high school, you know, talking about how his relationship with his mom and, you know, some of the guilt he kind of carries with that. You know, Marvin Clark was a big one. But, I think that those were the guys, because that entire class, Javon Best as well, going to St. Louis, he balled out, by the way, there. I think that was the last time Michigan State kind of had a little reshuffle in regards to who's on their team. They're going to have to do it if they want to make room for Amone Bates, so. Let's talk about the Spartans, though. Just throttled by Iowa. The line, I think, started at 6 points. Halftime, it was, oh man, what was it? It was 13 or something stupid like that. And that was when I decided to put money on the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd rather, you know, change my very little bit of money as I try to build up my DraftKings account. I'd rather, exchange my very little bit of money that I put on there for Michigan State to get themselves in the freaking tournament. Just keep the streak alive until next year, ultimately, is kind of been the mantra of the Michigan State fan base. And look, the Iowa game kind of went as expected. Yeah. It's like I said on Friday. You know, this was a team that once they switched to a matchup zone, Michigan State, that's when the game shifted. You know, I still thought the refs kind of screwed over Michigan State at the end, but that matchup zone slowed down the offense and changed the tide of the game. They went matchup zone pretty much from the get and just dominated the Spartans. And Luka Garza didn't do much of anything other than be a decoy.
Yeah, you know, the passing out of the double, he was, you know, he found guys that were wide open, and guys that were wide open that shot with confidence. And Iowa did everything they were supposed to do. They looked great. Iowa looked like the team I thought they would be all year. You know, I thought Iowa was the best team coming in, them and Illinois. I still think that because the Big Ten's so good, there's an argument they still may be. You know, it just worked out that way for them. But they're big. They move the ball well. They've been around the block for years. They play together forever. McCaffrey, the lefty, the son, even hit triples, which is so that's spelled room when he's hit because he's not a great shooter. I mean, he's an okay shooter. He doesn't even like to shoot very often. You know, Pungy, the big kid that came in, was unbelievable. 18 points. Talk about an absolute asset having him off the bench. That's just a really good team, Tyler. I mean, they're a very good basketball team. Yeah, Michigan State's not a good basketball team right now. And then it was bad. They manned them up, too, to be honest. Like, beginning of the game, Iowa played man. Then they went matchup zone and caused problems. So that was a shocker. I thought Michigan State would be able to get whatever they wanted.
So many open looks,
they missed
too.
So many shots, though. Like,
And you know
So many.
that's ultimately been the problem for Michigan State. You know, you got a backup big coming in, scoring 18 and doing it all down low, just dominating whoever Michigan State threw at him, whether it be Marvel, Bingham, whoever, Kiffier. You have him doing that, and then you're missing your shots. And this has been the problem with Michigan State all season long. I think Gabe Brown brings Michigan State back a little something in regards to his energy, his shooting, his ability to try and take it to the rack. He's
Yeah.
such a big piece right now. I think he should be the first wing off the bench. Forget Watts in that regard, who, by the way, is questionable in tomorrow night's game against Purdue, as is Foster Lawyer. Now the problem is I said it on last week's show on Friday, Michigan State has must-win games. There's games you can lose just because the Big Ten sucks in regards to you don't get a night off. There's games you can lose, but wins against quality teams help a lot more than losses against those same teams hurt you. Purdue and Indiana this week, these are must-win games for Michigan State, and you're going to be doing it without your most experienced point guard and without a guy who, if he's playing well at the point guard position, Michigan State is a pretty good team still. The problem is he's only done it twice this year.
Yeah, I mean it's this is trouble, man. This is big time trouble. I don't know. I think the Big Ten tournament's your only shot here. I mean, I really do. Unless, yeah, you go on a run here. If you win three, four, five in a row, then yeah, we're having a different story. But I don't see it, Tyler. I just don't. And you know, until something is proven to me where they can go in and beat a good
Beat
opponent like they did
the crap out
Rutgers.
of
They were
really
at
good
home. They
Rutgers
pounded them.
Michigan
You know, they got to
players
have.
coming up here.
Yeah, you're gonna have to beat a good team. I mean, they have not beat a good team since then. And you know, honestly, I just don't know, man. It's one of those bad years. And plus, the COVID stuff's making it worse. They already had a little bit of problems. COVID's made it a little problem turned into a huge problem. And I think that, you know, it's not an excuse, but it is the reality of it. I mean, they were kind of playing a little better. They got over a couple of those bad losses. They beat the crap out of Rutgers, and then they had the pause. And then they had no ability to continue to build momentum off that win. And then they just continued to come back and get worse than they already were before the pause. And they just haven't rebounded, you know. And in the wins against Nebraska and Penn State, they played bad. You know, the Penn State game, they probably could have lost. You know, the kid was wide open. They didn't defend it
Oh,
right.
phenomenal play.
Great play drawn up by their
I'm not gonna
coach.
lie, I stole it and put it in my play.
And you know, yeah, I mean, you know, they basically, basically set the ball screen, flared the ball screener, and he was wide open. And you know, it was a great look. And you know, I'll tell you what, man, this will be a year that Michigan State fans will probably never forget either way, because if they seem somehow get over this, it will be memorable. But if they don't, it'll be memorable for the wrong reason. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think they're going to do it in the regular season, Tyler. I think it's going to take a Big Ten tournament run that's magical for them to get in. And you know, for me, even though I'm not a state fan, I want them to be in the tournament. I love it when both teams are in the tournament. It's fun. And you know, our state certainly needs it, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I just don't see it
like you
this year
said,
though.
these two games coming up, man. This is going to test, you know, the heart and the leadership of this team, which has, I think, been in question all season long. And look, it starts tomorrow night against Purdue. Michigan State, two straight games down here in the state where I reside. Well, look, we'll get to Michigan here in a second, but how do you think Michigan State fares? These are games that they have to win, but they're playing at Purdue and at Bloomington.
I think they're going to split. I think they're going to split. And I think that, you know, I think that they'll lose to Purdue. I still think Purdue's too good. And, you know, I think it's a bad matchup for them, even though it was such a good game, you know, before. I think that because of the size that Purdue has and their wing play defensively is really good. So I think that gives Aaron Henry some problems. Their point guard play is pretty solid. It's another athletic, strong team, and it's like two, you know, heavyweight fighters just drilling each other the whole game. That's exactly what it's going to be again. And I just think with Purdue being at home, they win. I think they'll beat Indiana, though, which will end up being a really big win. And then that will not be an easy game. I mean, that will be just as hard as a Purdue game, but I think they'll win that one. So I'm going to say they split.
So it's so weird because Michigan State always struggles at Purdue. And so I'm taking Michigan State against them, though, because Izzo tried a lineup that everyone kind of thought was going to be the end-of-game lineup. You know, it's not your starting lineup. It's not the lineup you're out there the most, but, you know, the last 4 minutes, you'd roll Hauser, Hall, Henry, Watson, Langford, and that's what he had out there, except they had no answer for Williamson because Hauser couldn't freaking guard a folding chair. And I think you're going to see Bingham out there at the end of the game.
Right.
Williams is short. He's stronger than Bingham, obviously, but he is shorter, and I think Bingham's got that length that will help. I think they beat Purdue. Indiana, I'm kind of coin flipping back and forth on. You know, one day I wake up Indiana, the next day I wake up Michigan State. Michigan, though, really quick, because I know you got you going. Rutgers and Ohio State.
I think they win both, and I'm probably going to bite the bullet on this one, you know, because I think Ohio State's so good, and they just got all the right pieces, and I think they're going to give Michigan all sorts of problems. But I do think that the things that they do well, Michigan can contain. They guard really well. Ohio State, you know, they like to get space off the ball screen. They like to get their guards free. They have a couple big guys that are they like to get the ball to. But Michigan can contain that. I think they're going to sweep this week. I think this team is for real. I'm probably going to be mad when they end up losing both games, right? Because I always pick against them. But no, I think that they're for real, and they deserve for me to feel that way. I mean, when you're 14-1. You went on the road against Wisconsin after 23 days off. I mean, you kind of deserve a little bit of, you know, credit. But I think they beat Rutgers. I think they pound Rutgers. I think they absolutely pound them. And I think Ohio State's going to be a classic game at their place. And I think Michigan has a little bit of, you know, thing going on, man. They got a little bit of this momentum going. I think they carry it in. And it's a rivalry game. I think they'll play great. And I think it's going to be the best game of the year in the Big Ten. I really do. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. And I think Michigan's going to win by three. And I actually even think I'm going to go even a step further. I think they're going to hit a big shot towards the end. And I think Isaiah Livers will be the guy that hits it. I mean, Isaiah Livers was fantastic yesterday.
Hit some shots to kind of pull away.
You know, this team reminds me of a lot of Michigan things. You know, Tyler, to give a shout-out to the Spartans, which I do like to do, this team reminds me of a Michigan State team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just tough. They get it done. It doesn't look good all the time. They get down, and then they come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's Michigan State, man. And, you know, that's what this team reminds me of. You get pissed. You're like, how the heck are we down 14? And then they come back, you know. So it's like they switched uniforms. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, and
this year.
Look, you know, COVID's always been, you know, in my mind, just an excuse for how things are turning out. But look, COVID doesn't play a massive role with a lot of these situations. Michigan, it did. And it wasn't even really their basketball team, it was just in the athletic department. Michigan State, 13 to 15 players tested positive. And, you know, I think Gabe Brown was the last one to kind of roll around there. But,
Let me say this real quick, Tyler. I think this is something we haven't talked enough about. And I really want to add this real fast. This Michigan State team would be different with fans. I know that may seem weird to say, but at the Izz Zone with crowds, this is a whole different thing. I'm not saying that what's happening, like all the teams that are playing well, like Michigan, I think would be really good this year. But I do think it would be a little different with the normal circumstances. When you got to go on the road and you got to go to at Wisconsin, it is easier to win without the fans. I don't care what anybody says. There's less pressure. There's not that crowd factor. But on the other side of it, yes, it's not a home court advantage either. So it evens out. But my point is, I think Michigan State would be better in a normal season than they are right now. They look very unmotivated. I think the fan base at Michigan State helps that. They is zone rocking. And, oh, I'm just so ready for that, man. I'm so sick of no fans and fake crowd noise. But I just wanted to add that because I think it must be noted. It's a different season.
Excuse me. Here's my thing really quick is I think Michigan State would only have one loss if Xavier Tillman were back. I think he's that much of a difference maker. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, look, we do have COVID. Michigan State does not have that centerpiece in Xavier Tillman. I think that this is, you know, it's a situation that you have to learn to adapt. You know, it's adapt or die. And right now, Michigan State is dying and dying for Max Christie, Pierre Brooks, Keon Coleman, Jaden Akins, and Amone Bates next year.
Oh, God. Bring them now.
Yeah.
Bring them now and let's have fans. I'm ready. I mean, look, this season has been brutal. Like in football, I mean, I know we're not talking about football right now, but boy, we certainly could have a little better football play, too. But how weird is it that Michigan basketball is literally the only thing we've had that's been good this year? If you would have said that to me in the beginning of this year,
I literally thought, whatever you're taking, all of the teams, you know, Michigan football, Michigan State football, Michigan State basketball, and then Michigan basketball, you can even jump in to the Detroit Pistons a little bit. You know, you can jump into the Detroit Lions. I literally thought Michigan was going to be right down there with the Detroit Red Wings. That's how bad I thought it was. That's how bad I thought they were going to be, you know? Because there's a gelling of the grad transfers with Isaiah Livers, who was the leader on the team already. And then you have, you know, a freshman playing such a big role. No, you. It's okay to admit you didn't think they were going to be good. The bottom line is they are good. My pick's over the weekend. I don't know if Michigan has a guy who can stop Ron Harper Jr. Doesn't help that I'm watching a lot of these old Chicago Bulls games and I'm watching his daddy play. He's just completely balling out. But I don't know if they have a guy who can stop him, so I think that game's going to be a little closer than you think. I still think they dog walk Ohio State, though. I really do. I don't think Ohio State has the pieces. I don't think Michigan can, like, score a ton on them. I think it's going to be like a, you know, your standard Wisconsin game. You know, it's one of those games where Wisconsin or Virginia wins by, like, 3 or 4 points, but you just know that they dominated still. And I think that that's going to be the situation with Michigan and the Buckeyes play. Yeah, so.
Wow, that's shocking.
So I think
that's
Rutgers is going to be closer. I don't know who's going to win that one just because, like I said, I don't know if they have anyone who can stop Junior, but I think they beat down Ohio State. But that does it for us today. We'll be back next week. We will recap a must-win week for the Spartans. Hopefully I'm not salty and calling a 17-year-old Canadian kid a pansy. And we'll
that was the year.
You know what? It is what it is.
If
you're scared about playing time, you know what you freaking do. You know what you earn it. That's the bottom line.
Can you? So let me say this before you go. So I'm about to train. So maybe I'll leave out the pansy comment. Quit playing like a pansy.
Yeah, sack up.
That will work. They have a bond. They're Michigan fans, so there's some of the kids that come in are Spartan fans, so they're all.
Look, this is a deal. If you want to play for Michigan State, you know, in practices, you're going to go against quality players, period. You were going to start. It's not that hard to see. You know, you sit there, you look at the roster and be like, junior. Oh, no, I want to play right away. I'm not. So you can do that in sophomore year earlier. You know what? No, he needs to sack up. He needs to sack up. You're going to play the best. You're going to play against the best players in the country, and you're scared of a little competition between the 6'11 Twig and Thomas Kithier? Bite me. That's not okay.
No, yeah. Would you consider Jaren Hayes a
Oh,
pansy?
Jaren
Okay,
Hayes
I'm done.
broke his
Just
leg,
kidding.
man. It is what it is. You know, he was still tough. He still drew the matchup with
That's sad.
Braylon Edwards. He got roasted in that matchup. I was not thrilled with his performances, but you know what? To come back from his leg snapping like it did against Lee Evans in Wisconsin, you know, credit to him for that. But yeah.
Yeah, so
Oh
he
no, his
not
performances still weren't good,
sure.
but you know, he's tough. It was very Matt Stafford like. You know what? Your performances aren't that great, but you know what? You're tough as nails, so I'll give you a little bit of a
But
pass.
just cover someone.
Just God, it's a fade route every time. Just push him out of bounds.
Brandon, don't go in ever. I mean, dude, there's my only Michigan thing. And Milton, take a little air off the ball. All right, not calling anyone a pansy. You know, these kids are sensitive today. Just take a little bit of air off the ball, or put a little air under the ball. Excuse me,
Don't
sorry, Joe.
tell people to take air out of the ball. You'll have to think what
Okay.
Brady was doing was okay. But
Yeah, I love
look,
it.
that does it for us today. We were going to talk a little bit about CJ Carr, but that obviously, you know, we just don't have time for that. I'm angry. And so I'm going to go deal with my sorrows here because I literally feel like if I would have come this year, I feel like Michigan State's a national championship contender. I legitimately feel like that with Akins, with Christie, with Bates, Boyake, Brooks coming off the bench, Keon Coleman coming off the bench after football. I legitimately feel like this was a championship team. Hauser coming off the bench probably, which would make my day. But look, that does it for us here on Trouble with Snap Podcast. We'll be back next Monday, like I said, recapping this must-win week and then looking at, you know, Michigan's incredibly tough schedule over the course of this Valentine's Day week, President's Day week, whatever week you want to call it. It's a week that needs to go well for the Spartans. But that does it for us. For Jeremy File, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the Trouble with Snap.